to episode 102 of the Co-opt-cast for Monday, February 25th. I'm your host, Locke Vincent, and with me, as always, I have my three merry men. We have Mike supporting us from the bottom in the number four spot. We got Jason Love over here. He's the ganker. He's in the number two spot. And in our number one spot, all the way across, our beautiful Nick Puleo playing the carry spot. As always, I'm using Dota references, so you will all...
Feeding the lane. Stop feeding the lane.
I am the feeder. So we're going to be talking about the games we've been playing. We've got a little bit of news to catch up on, as well as our discussion on the PlayStation 4 that Sony just announced. That's right. Quattros.
Amazing.
And but to start things off, let's get into the thick of things. Nick, I want to hear about what you have been playing.
So the bulk of my time has been spent playing NHL 13, playing the EA Sports League mode, which is basically you create a pro and you hit up online. And it's kind of like pseudo-RPG, so you play some games, you earn some experience, you upgrade some stats, and you keep going with that. And it's all human players. Well, it'll fill in AI, but it's 6 versus 6, essentially. So we've got a good group of, I think there's like 12 or 14 guys on the team. So you need at least 3 people online to play a league match. And, we've been playing every night. And,
sounds like
our team is Turtlehead Meat Pants. And here's the logo.
Nice.
So that's and you can see there's the record stuff. So there's been quite a few games played, and
what's up with those losses?
No, I haven't.
What's with the losses, man?
The league or the team has played that many games. I've played maybe 15.
Okay.
So
I was gonna say that looked like 144 games.
Yeah, no. it takes a while to play. What's surprising to me actually is like getting into the games. It's no time at all. Like the matchmaking system and finding other teams that are in this thing has been really, really fast. So what it tries to do is like if you have like 4 people playing, it tries to match you up with another team of 4 people playing. And it'll try and match up if like you have somebody playing goalie, it'll try and match you up with another team with the human control goalie too. So it's kind of nice there.
That's cool.
But yeah, so I'm pretty addicted to that. I've been working on making myself.
What position
awesome
are you playing
in that? I've been focusing on my left wing guy. Basically, what you do is your guy can go across 4 positions: left wing, right wing, center,
D,
and then if you want to do do goalie.
That's really cool. So like fighter, archer, mage. Let's break this down for the folks
your
at home.
Healer.
No, that's awesome, man. That's a really, really cool thing.
But it is very, very team oriented. Right. Like it's like real sports. It really is.
Do you have to get benched during line changes and stuff?
No. The max you can do is 6, so you're always on the ice. There's no line changes or stuff like that. It's just a lot of fun, and you know, you try and set up plays and stuff, and once you get to knowing everybody's play style and what they're doing.
Do you guys have a, like, are you guys playing the triangle? Are you playing the trap? What's going on?
It's the 1-2-3 triple deke.
Flying V's.
You know, we're doing a little, I was just going to say we're doing a little flying V action. But...
Yes! If there's one thing the Mighty Ducks taught us.
You can use, ridiculous gimmicks to win championships.
Yeah. So, if anything, the ridiculous gimmick is using the poke check and like gaming the physics system to make the puck just bounce in ridiculous ways. So that's
Have you launched anyone into the stands yet? I saw that gif.
We've seen some retarded checks where the guy basically bounces down the ice on his head, and it's just like there's no way.
How delightful!
Awesome, man.
Other than that, I got back into Skyrim. I decided I need to finish that up, and I started playing the new content in the Dragon.
Yeah, what do you
DLC.
Get in that?
Yeah.
It's actually a whole new island set in Morrowind, and what's cool is they used Morrowind music. They actually included a bunch of tracks from Morrowind in it. So as soon as you get there, the Morrowind theme kind of kicks in, and I was like, holy crap, what happened?
It's on now.
So yeah, I got really excited. So
shit just got real.
Yeah, you know, so that's pretty cool.
You see a stilt strider, and everything's right with the world.
Yep, they're there. So that's pretty cool. And then, you know, I cleaned out my office, and I said, you know what? It's time to get rid of this 3DS. I don't play it. So I packed up some things and I headed to GameStop to trade it in, and I came home with a 3DS XL. So
excellent work.
That plan was foiled. I couldn't figure out what the heck to get.
What
I
were
had
your
like
choices?
$200 in credit. Well, I had like $200 in credit, so I was walking around. I was like, well, I wanted to get Assassin's Creed 3. I'll pick that up. And then I went over to the demo station. They had the 3DS XL. With Fire Emblem in it, and I played it for like 5 minutes. I was like, okay,
nice.
I'm getting this.
Oh.
So that was it.
You could have picked me up a PlayStation Vita for sending me Aliens yeah. Colonial Marines.
Nick, that's okay, Nick.
Wow.
It's, I joined the club. I joined the club as well.
Join the club.
Everyone join. Jason's left out.
I don't know. I didn't even have a 3DS. I skipped right over. My last portable thing from Nintendo was a DS Lite. So it's a huge jump for me, and really it's awesome. This thing's the size of a dinner plate, and yeah, it's great. I've been playing the Mario 64 or not 64. Sorry, 3D Land.
3D Land. Isn't that game great?
Yeah, and I mean, it's a lot of fun. For the few games that are on there that I've checked out, you know, I'm going to play Fire Emblem, of course, and just kind of poking around the store. There's a lot of great downloadable titles. Thing like Crash Mo, Push Mo, any classic, you know, GBA games they have on there.
Mighty Switch Force is really good.
Dope.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Link 2.
Yeah, there's tons of stuff on there, and it's yeah, great all because this
Mega
is my
Man
first
2.
Handheld, yeah. Other than, I guess, my phone, that I can, just have downloadable games sort of on the go, you know, that have that catalog, that, you know, nostalgic catalog that we all know and love. But tell me about Fire Emblem, Nick, because I'm playing the old one right now. I have not upgraded to the new one.
Oh, I'm not going to pretend
that's
to be
okay.
an expert on
What's
it.
Your experience?
I was going to say, Jason and I probably know more
2.5 hours into it.
And I haven't even played the game.
No.
But it's a tactical RPG. It's all about building up your characters, positioning them on the battlefield, and playing off each other's strengths and weaknesses and stuff like that. It's actually the first one in the series I've played. So
nice.
There we go. I lost my window for a second. But yeah, I don't know. Any kind of turn-based strategy game is my forte. Those seem to suck me in the most. So, I mean, it's pretty good. I'm on the first mission. I'm on mission 5, which seems to be the first like real mission in the game. First chapter 5. So, and I am playing where if a dude dies, they're gone for good. So, there is that.
What's your
thing?
What's your sort of pedigree from strategy RPGs? Because I am a diehard Shining Force fan, you know.
Yeah, I mean, I played Shining Force back in the day. We were talking, you know, Dark Wizard's kind of our...
Dark Wizard, yes.
...favorite there
of course.
On Sega CD. You know, those kind of games. You had Final Fantasy Tactics. You know, there's a lot of them. There's a lot of good ones. Mike brought up Jeune d'Arc today.
PSP.
Which was good. Yeah. So there's been a lot of good ones, and... Maybe you guys can comment on how it relates to the other ones in the series, what's different and stuff, but I like it. I put 2.5 hours in 2 days.
Nice.
So
that's great.
It's got my attention.
That's 8,000% more playtime than 3DS has gotten since the
last
time you played it, which I believe was 20 minutes at
the last
PAX
time
last year.
Yeah, that's the last time I played it was at PAX.
Wow.
So.
Wow.
And then we said, wow, this new Super Mario Bros. 2 co-op is... bullshit,
yeah.
And turn it off.
Pretty much.
Mike,
let's move up to you. What do we got on your plate, sir?
We got some Tales of the Bonfire.
Oh, that's right.
Like
sorry. Turn down the lights.
Oh no!
Step into the circle of the Dark Souls bonfire.
Wait, Mike
is going to kindle it with a tail, because we don't talk about this on the show.
I'm going to tell you a co-op story about Dark Souls and not bother, you know, making the usual jokes I do about it. So I'm playing with Andrew and our new staff member DJ, and we're all progressing characters at the same time, going, you know, not quite Three Amigos style, but you're pushing through together, and taking on the painted world of Aramis. And it's a later game area, and we're going through and clearing it out. And with Dark Souls, you have to clear every area basically however many times there are players, because it saves the progress, like the boss progress for the person who's hosting. So we had to, you know, constantly have to shuffle hosts. Anyway, we're rolling through this. First time, we roll through it with no problem. Take out Crossbreed Priscilla pretty easily. Second time...
I hate her.
Second time, we roll through. DJ decides he has to have every single item in the entire area, so it takes like 5 times as long. So we roll through. And then it comes my turn to host, and we get invaded.
Good.
And we get invaded by someone who is very, very good at dodging. He popped up. He ambushed us. He saw that there were three players, and beat a hasty retreat, because 3-on-1 is, you know, unless they have AOE pyromancy, 3-on-1 is just asking for a beatdown. So he does a really good job of like, you know, dodging and feinting and basically splitting the three of us up, so we all split up to try and corner him. And Locke, you know the area. There's the tower.
Yes.
With the spiral staircase heading up. So Andrew and I start hunting him on the lower areas, and he evades our grasp and starts moving up to try and catch us from above if we go in there. And, you know, DJ found him and started heading up, and he goes up spiral staircase, and he, you know, he calls to me and, you know, for backup. So I get over there and I pop into the spiral staircase and I start moving up, and I look and I see the invader up top firing homing soul arrows at DJ, and DJ's trying to dodge them on the spiral staircase. And then DJ takes a very tragic back roll, like he rolls backwards and falls literally like 400 feet to his death. And, you know, it says, you know, Phantom DJ has been vanquished. And, you know, I see the guy up there, and he's just looking at me, and I'm looking at him. I do the shrug, and I just walk away, because I'm not going to try that again. So, you know, I head out, and because I'm human, I really don't want to die at that point. So I tell Andrew where he is. And Andrew goes up to take care of it, and I'm going back to try and grab DJ again. And in the meantime, the invader sent a message to DJ over Xbox Live that says, "No one can survive Mount Doom." and we have a good laugh about that. And I had a moment of silliness. Because I thought we got invaded again. Because there are NPC invaders that come in to certain areas of the game. There's only a few of them. One of them's in the painted world. And I just see, you know, so-and-so is invaded. So we roll up and we beat him up. And then I do the standard...
What
you
up?
Know, like,
come at me, bro.
...taunt after. So, yeah, you do the come at me, bro. And then Andrew goes... And he was... Andrew was in chat with... Andrew was in chat with DJ at the time, and he's like, "Oh no, DJ, Mike thought that was a person." So we had a few good laughs.
That's the dude with the big penis,
the
head.
Big turban, yeah.
Xanathos or something. So any other tales from the bonfire?
I'm gonna rack up some
okay,
more
good.
For next
so
time.
So concludes.
Yeah, we're definitely
tales
going
from the bonfire.
You defeated. And so I played a. I also played a little bit of Dead Space 3 in co-op with Jason, and man, that kind of makes that game easy. It was already pretty easy, and having a second player there was just like, there's zero stress. Like, none whatsoever.
Yeah, the normal difficulty is way too easy, even in
single
player.
I'm kind of regretting not pumping it up, but I also don't... I'm playing a hard enough game in my spare time already. I don't really need to butt my head against Dead Space. And I also played through almost all of Metal Gear Rising. Revengeance. It's really good if you like Platinum Game
and
style of action.
Hello. You shut your mouth. You shut up.
Oh. No, I was just going to say Sam.
Yeah,
probably.
Well, he's British,
yeah,
so.
Well. Yes, well, there's no floating platforms in it, so I think he'll probably be okay with the game. It's really fun. It's pretty short. I'm on the second to last chapter, and like the last three chapter, like two of the last three chapters are just a boss fight, essentially. So it starts blowing by pretty quickly, but I really dig
nice.
It. It's fun.
How many watermelons have you sliced?
Zero, because there are none in the game that I've seen.
Really?
You haven't found the secret Gallagher level?
No. Yeah. But it's real fun. I dig it. I'd start recommending it to people who don't really are on the fence about it once it inevitably hits $20 in about 2 weeks. But
how long is it, Mike? I'm just curious.
It doesn't keep track of the game clock. Doesn't keep track of time spent during cutscenes or time like if you die and restart. It doesn't seem to keep track of that either. And so I'm on. I'm either on 6 of 7 or 7 of 8. I'm on the second to last level, and my play clock is just shy of 4 hours.
Okay.
Wow.
So it's pretty short, but it is not... I wouldn't say it overstays its welcome. Like I think it's about as long as it needs to be, because I feel like if it was twice as long or even a little bit longer, it would start feeling really samey.
Right.
Because there's not a whole... Like, there's a lot of variety of enemies, but... I don't know. The cool thing is it runs at a very solid 60 frames a second.
Your Raptor clock says 7 hours, just so you know.
Yeah. Oh! So.
But
Nick with the time check.
Like I said, it doesn't. The timer doesn't keep track of that on your save game, but there are plenty of cutscenes.
Yeah, and I mean, like, Vanquish wasn't that long. That was a really nice, satisfying experience. These games don't need to be long. They just need to be well done. And again, being a grown-ass adult, mm-hmm. I don't have time for, 60-hour epics, hence why.
And there are a couple times when the difficulty spikes incredibly, and there have been two boss fights where I've been completely stonewalled for, like, an hour.
Right.
So, it's just that type of game.
All right, cool. Well, Jason, let's move over to you, sir, and tell me what you've been lifting.
Let's see. I lifted a hope chest, a desk, a chest of drawers that's one solid piece.
And how much
of furniture.
Experience did you get for all of this?
He got a new NPC companion.
I got a new ache in my back. My knees feel a little bit more.
You got
old
all
than
those good perks.
To,
now,
so...
did you finally get rewarded with the dragon's key that you can open up the wizard's tower?
No, but I did get the gaping maw. I hear that's a good thing. That's very.
He took out the gaping dragon jump. And was killed by ceaseless discharge. that's a Dark Souls joke.
Yeah. Anyways, it's been good. I moved this past week, and so it's been a lot of setting stuff up. I didn't even get my Xbox set up. I don't think until I don't know like.
Priorities, bro.
Like Wednesday or Thursday or something like that last week, but there was a lot of extenuating circumstances around that.
We had to get rid of the hyenas and those vagrants.
I tell you, man. No, I wouldn't have thought that hyenas would be such a problem in Pennsylvania. Nick certainly didn't warn us about it, but...
Oh, so you're out in Pennsylvania now?
Yeah. I am. Western PA.
Great. So basically, Pittsburgh. You're on the Atlantic Ocean.
I am. If I throw a stone from my house, I will sink into the Atlantic.
Gross.
Really?
Now, Mike said you've been, you know, doing a little bit of Dead Space. Now,
yes.
What's your take on Dead Space? Give me the straight dope on Dead Space from your perspective.
I love the weapon crafting system. I still love the weapon craft. That's like probably one of the best things that has come out of that game. And yes, you can horribly break it. You know, like I found a spot right now where basically I can drop two resource bots on whatever the megalodes are, save and quit, come back, they'll reappear. So I can just cycle that over and over again, get all the resources and pieces and parts that I want.
All of them.
I will collect them all. I'm starting to chart.
Wait, there's Pokemon in this game?
Yes.
What?
Pokemon in the form
Poker
of weapons.
Poker Necromorphs. Let's do it.
Poker Necromorphs. But anyway, so I mean, it's great. I mean, it's broken, but at the same time, they have so many fun things. Like, I've got a gun now that is a flamethrower on top and an ice blast on the bottom, so it freezes enemies, and then I can shoot them with fire, but it also does acid damage to them at the same time. It's just ridiculous. It's like a super soaker gun, and I'm just like...
Captain Planet gun. Like, I'll just have all the elements, exactly. And then you shoot heart at them, and you're...
Exactly.
Kill them with love.
And heart in this case is a spinning buzzsaw that just hovers in front of me. So, yeah.
So my problem with the weapon crafting system is I've already gotten a weapon that's so overpowered, I don't know if I need to make another one.
Yes, you do.
Because the weapon I'm rolling right now is just a regular, like a powered-up plasma cutter, but it automatically shoots stasis into every enemy it hits.
Doesn't matter.
Yeah, just
make
do it for
weapons.
The novelty, really. Because I just... Goals. Yeah.
That's kind of how it ended.
Well, I was just going to say that I had a plasma cutter, but then I also needed a plasma cutter on my plasma cutter, so I have two.
Well, I tried doing that, but I didn't like that you couldn't rotate it, so I took the other plasma cutter off and just made it into a... Because I shoot it, like, you have the stasis pack in that game to freeze dudes, but now my plasma cutter just does that for me. I don't even have to use it.
When does Isaac start to dual wield stuff? Double
that's
plasma cutters.
Seriously. That's what I want to know.
Double eyeball surgery.
Those are single-handed things. I'm just like, man, if I had a buzzsaw, machine gun in one hand, and a flamethrower
or
in the other.
You play as a necromorph, and you get four hands, and you're able to like carry four guns. I'm just saying. They've gone down
That'd
this path
awesome.
From...
Yeah, you roll through, and you have the four shoulder buttons.
Or,
yeah, one for
or better
job,
with Kinect,
swing.
Who knows?
Roll up with a four-piece
shoot
combo.
Left hand. So anyways, I played with Mike some and co-op, and I was Carver. But I didn't see any hallucinations, or at least none that I picked up on when we were playing.
I don't think those happen unless you do the actual co-op missions.
Yeah,
right?
What happens is you'll see a hallucination go into where you need to go for the co-op mission.
Sadly, we were at a part where... We had to clear everything before we could get back to it because there's that early one in the ship or whatever. But Mike had just locked himself into the next ship station, so he couldn't get out. So,
well,
someday.
Should we move on to some news and talk about the hot scoops we got this week? The first being with Monster Hunter 3 Ultimate, the demo that was out on Wii U and 3DS. And that only has local co-op, as far as I can tell, which, up until now, the only...
I thought neither demo had co-op.
Neither demo had co-op, sorry, you are correct, but the game proper only has local co-op. Is that right?
No, the Wii U one has online, but the 3DS one has local.
So how...
But
and the 3DS one can play with the Wii U one locally, I think.
But then there's this weird trick where you can actually play with the 3DS online by going through your Wii U, but then you can't also play on the Wii U at the same time.
But you also have to have the wired Ethernet adapter that does not come with the
hell?
Wii U.
Do they want Monster Hunter to just fail in the West? Like, do they just... Here, do you... Like, because that...
Well,
but really, though.
Well, we start talking about all that. Yeah, it sounds really bad, but the fact is, Monster Hunter 3 for the Wii U has online
co-op. Fair enough. Play it on the Wii U, but I want to play it on this thing, man. I want to play it on my train ride that I don't take every day.
Well, I know I'm going to have it. You're probably going to have it. DJ's probably going to have it. So let's figure out how to set up some kind of crazy VPN to trick our 3DSs into thinking that they're local.
I like your style.
I like it.
But if you are into monster hunting, which I am down with the monster hunt. I haven't played since like
Dracula.
I think it's Dracula.
The Mummy.
Mummies.
Oh, so it's Castlevania now?
Because that's Thundercats.
Creature from the Black Lagoon.
The Wolfman might even make an experience. No. An appearance. He'll be there. Guaranteed Wolfman.
It's going to be interesting for me because I've only really played
Parsons Project.
I've only played a little bit of Monster Hunter throughout, and I signed on for the review because I have all the hardware to test out the crazy.
You are the crazy one?
So my actual exposure to like a Capcom monster hunting game is Dragon's Dogma.
Good.
You've
been enjoying that.
It's great. I love it, but it's also like the big thing about Monster Hunter is it's all about animation priority. It's kind of like dark or demon.
Yeah, you gotta like time your swings and stuff if you're using different weapons.
Like you can't cancel out of a move. And Dragon's Dogma, it was made by the team that made Devil May Cry 4. So it's got a lot of like really fast paced combat, which is a little different, but you're still hunting giant ass monsters and
I played it back on the PSP, I just didn't find it that intriguing. One, because I was so late into the series that I had no idea what was going on. I didn't know what to do. I was very lost. And there's 30 pages of tutorials that you can go through, which I didn't care to do because, you know, I'm a big fan of, you know, the game should teach you as you go instead of just reading and reading, just like Dark Souls does. So,
I was like,
just pulling a little hypocritical there. But I am excited to get into this, and I want to play with other people because just it's not appealing solo to me. And, you know, grinding through, trying to get that good armor, that's not why I want to play Monster Hunter. I know that's why a lot of people play it, but I want to see Mike on the tail, I want to see DJ on the head, and I want to hack his ankles, and we want to bring him down, and then we eat him. Done. Case closed.
And cook his meat. And so our cat assistant can crack wise.
So that's Monster Hunter. Look for that on your Nintendo platforms, whether portable or Wii U. Am I the only one who doesn't have a Wii U here?
I'm
the only one with a Wii U.
I'm the only one who has a Wii U.
Okay,
it's the opposite.
Thought I was missing out on something.
There's only one other staff member with a Wii U.
Well, I just have a so far wizard staff. That's all. Next up, we have Far Cry 3 patches. It's going to be changing the game. Now, Mike, we were talking about this earlier today. Tell me what's going on with some of the outpost resetting and difficulty levels.
So, one of the biggest change is being able to reset enemy outposts because you roll through Far Cry and there's kind of a territory control game. And as you're roaming through an area that still has outposts under enemy control, enemies will spawn and generally be annoying, so the game encourages you to go clear that out. Unfortunately, it has the side effect of making this gigantic ass open world completely devoid of enemies once you've cleared them out.
And thereby less fun when you can't carve open their skull with a rock that you just found laying by your foot.
Well, so the real thing here is that the most fun part of Far Cry 3 is just screwing around in the open world. And I'm in somewhere in Act 3 of the game. And I haven't finished it. And I don't want to finish it because there's a really, really horrible stealth mission. And I finished that and I said, all right, I'm done with this game.
No, wait, no, 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 no. You're done with the mission part of the game. Yes.
Yes. No, and from that point, I went on to play another 10 hours of just stalking dudes through the jungle. But once you run out of dudes to kill...
A taiga!
Oh, yes. Man.
So anyway, the ability having the ability to respawn those is pretty awesome. And, I actually don't know too much about what they're doing to change the difficulty other than adding
it's more difficult. Like, I don't know if they're making a bunch of tweaks to AI or giving them health. They don't have those details, but...
They're already pretty darn good at seeing you through cover. And, it wouldn't be a Far Cry game if the enemies didn't snipe you while you're in cover. When they shouldn't actually be able to see you. That's been a hallmark of the series since
like
Crytek
The one weird thing I find is when you pick off a guy silently and dudes see him, obviously they panic, but then they immediately converge. They're like,
immediately make
he's
a beeline
in that bush,
for you.
I know it.
It's like, I shot you with an arrow. There was no muzzle flash. There's nothing. And
based
yet,
on the trajectory of where the arrow hit the guy, we can calculate back to
like
that bush.
They must all be CSI investigators because they look at a body, they immediately look at the tree I'm hiding in, they look at the body, they point all their guns at that stupid tree.
all of the guns.
And then it's flamethrower on, Skrillex on, let's do this, gone.
Looks like this guy's death is a far cry from
you're
normal.
Off the show! Next up, we've got the Skylander Swap Force news requiring a new portal of power. The big thing with
don't care.
This is for all the Skylanders fans out there. Nobody here cares about Skylanders, but like Andrew,
where's Andrew?
But
let's get him.
The new Skylanders, you can break them in half and swap their upper torso and legs. That changes their attributes as well as their movement type. And obviously, they have a bunch of new sensors in there, and the old portals of power. You know, it's just new technology. It's pretty typical with that sort of thing. Obviously, parents who are buying these for their children are going to buy them anyway, so whatever. I don't think that's a huge issue. Kind of a cool idea, though, to be able to switch your little figurines. I did that with my G.I. Joes manually, where you cut the elastic and then replace it so you can have custom.
You put a rubber band in there.
Exactly, so.
Snake Eyes is all of a sudden a little floppy around the middle, but, you know, dang it, he has
Snake
new
Eyes
pants.
Has custom pants. But there's...
Hammerlock has never felt more violated in his life.
But there's 60 new Skylanders, making whatever, like over 250 combinations, and that's going to come in its own little pack for Swap Force. But for those of you that love that thing, you're going to buy it anyways. But no, actually, I did ask Andrew. I did ask him this, and I asked him if he was interested in getting the next series, and he was like, really? I've put so much money into this, and I don't. He's out. He might be out. So, you're saying no. Bets are off. He's back in.
He won't. He'll buy it. We'll just see a random tweet from like 2 a.m. like, and he'll just be like, "What happened? Where did this stuff come from?"
I got drunk and I went on Amazon again, and now I have two of every stupid Skylander. What the hell is going on? But that's gross. Does anyone know about that Disney one? Disney Infinity. Yeah.
Infinity? I haven't been keeping too close track to it, but it's basically the same type of deal, except the core game is a little more like Little Big Planet, in that there's a bunch of, like, they'll have, like, Pirates of the Caribbean Land or Cars Land, and then you can build your own if you want.
It also has online co-op and stuff, too. Yeah, it's not just local.
That's pretty cool. Yeah, I'm curious to see what they do with that, because, man... Disney has some sweet properties. Like, they have some cool characters they can use from everything they have bought. Last but not least, Mass Effect 3, guys. That's a game that has more DLC coming out. Who would have thunk? Codename Reckoning. And you are... this is coming out tomorrow, I believe. And you're going to be getting... tomorrow being Tuesday, February 26th, you're going to be getting a bunch of new weapons, and like I don't know how many weapons are in there now. I haven't played this. Has anyone played Mass Effect 3 co-op in a while? Because I have not touched it for a
it's
couple
not,
of
not
months.
Not since shortly after I reviewed it. I went
yeah, back and checked out the Volus, and by check out, I mean try and not spend any money to get a Volus on my team so I can play as him. But there are new classes are going to include the Geth Juggernaut, so just a big hulking Geth guy. They had the Infiltrator, I believe. A female Turian, Raptor, so that's new. A Talon Mercenary, one of the human guys, and an Alliance Infiltration Unit. So, new classes, new weapons. They are supporting that game very well, and again, I still think it's a really great multiplayer mode. I think that's a fun horde mode. Lots of objectives and again, just mixing it up with different classes. It's really fun. So good to see them doing that. And that's out tomorrow. That's exciting. I might actually dip back into that just to see.
That's close to what, like a year after it was released, right? Still got all this stuff going.
Came out March
of
last year.
Almost a full year supporting that game. Yeah. So well, good on them. You guys want to talk about some PlayStation stuff?
We should.
What is there to talk about? I mean, nothing was shown, so we don't know if this any
well,
exists. I mean,
I'll tell you. So let me start off
set
by
this
saying
up for us, Nick.
Sony did a really good job of PRing the thing, because I have a lot of people, like my dad has been talking about it, my neighbor across the street asked me about it, a guy at work before the press conference even happened. This is a 55-year-old dude. He was like, "So you're going to get a PS4?" I'm like, "They didn't even talk about it yet. How did you, like?" So they really hyped it up pretty well, and you know, it was just, I don't know. Sony's PR did a really good job,
Nick. Everyone in my office was like, "Are you going to watch that today?" And we had it up at work. Like, and I was like, "You guys don't like video games. What are you talking about?" So they really hyped it up and got the word out, and people were interested. People were engaged and wanted to find out what the next big thing was from Sony. So, what did they do? They had a meeting. They had a play. They called it the PlayStation meeting, and nobody knew what was going to be announced. Of course, we all knew they were going to talk about the PlayStation 4. Personally, I wanted to see some game changing stuff, but we'll maybe get to that. Let's talk about the hardware a bit. They did not show a box. They did not show what it looked like, but they did talk about the guts. They talked about sort of why it's important for both developers and consumers to have a powerful unit. A thing
that is a PC
that is basically, I guess,
I'm sorry,
I guess,
I'm terrible.
You would call it a mid to high end PC with that.
Actually, so there's a really good article today on Engadget about the processor in it, right? So all the processors now have integrated graphics stuff, right? AMD's top of the line Jaguar CPU, the 8-core or whatever. Does I'll just throw out what the estimate was. It's like 750 megaflops or gigaflops, right? But the estimated processing power of the PS4 is actually going to be 1.8 teraflops, right?
Yeah.
So it's double and some of it. So basically, the processor that's going to be in the PS4 doesn't exist yet, right? And it's double of the top of the line one that's out right now that AMD has.
Yeah.
So it's going to be really beefy. And the biggest thing is the memory, the GDDR5, right? What's used on graphics cards normally.
Yeah, and the only way you get the GDDR 5 RAM in there is using the hybrid CPU GPU processor. Because otherwise, like, a standard CPU can't use it. As far as
so,
I understand,
most of the consoles, and I didn't realize this, I guess the Slim Xbox uses the hybrid chip, like their graphics and CPU is a single one, and I guess the later PS3 did the same thing. It moved it onto one chip, so that's kind of standard now. I mean, all the CPUs that come out in PCs now have dedicated graphics on it. It's not the best, but what the PS, you know, what the consoles do, it's a more of a high end chip and stuff. So yeah, it's at first glance, it's like, oh, they're using an AMD Jaguar. That's not really that great. It's not really going to be that high-end. But when they started looking into exactly what it's supposed to do, it's actually pretty substantial.
That is a Haas processor. So. I'm curious to see. One of the things that they showed was the state save, where you turn it on and it's right there. You're back into the game, which I think that's cool. I think that's nice to have, because loading up meant...
Because handhelds and your phone,
it's trained
have had
me.
That forever,
I can't
man.
Handle it anymore. I can't handle booting it up, logging in, loading up a save. I want to be back in. I want to be right back in.
So did you see? There's actually a patent out there right now that people are saying that loading times are going to be part of the anti-piracy measure of the system, and that's kind of how they're going to control things a bit, where they're going to be able to artificially, I guess, inflate the loading times or limit it through there, or something with that technology is going to be applied for the anti-piracy of the system to.
So if you legitimately have purchased the game, your loading times will be like 2 seconds, but if you've pirated it, you're going to sit there for like 5 minutes and go fix a sandwich.
Yeah, that could be related to it. Yeah, so.
I think they'll still pirate it and just, you know, stream some porn while they're waiting for the thing to load up. Yeah.
Jason's got his finger firmly planted on the pulse of the piracy community.
Let's talk about the controller.
Yeah, the controller. I told you, you're off the show.
Yeah. Man.
The controller, it looks like a DualShock that has a touchscreen on it. No, sorry, not touchscreen, a little display screen on it. Touchpad. That's kind of neat.
It's like...
There's no start button.
It's like right. that. Back yeah, of that's what
there's
it's
no start button.
There's no start button on that thing. How am I gonna pause my games?
Everyone's gonna hate that just because
there's no starting. There's only sharing.
Whenever you need to push pause, just share. Okay, just push the share button. Because what that gets you is an integrated social experience to share with your friends and colleagues.
I cannot wait to backseat game, Mike.
It is just this ecosystem that Sony is creating to pair everyone together in their online social network, bringing gaming and life together.
Bringing those assholes closer into your ears than ever before.
So there's a couple things relating to the sharing the first is that I saw someone point out that Sony actually didn't tell you who you get to stream your games to. Like, do you get to stream publicly, or do you just get to stream to your friends? Because they didn't make it clear.
They have the partnership with Ustream.
They had you can record and post video to
Facebook
page.
They said they had
a
partnership with Ustream. They have a partnership with Ustream because then they said you could link it right to your account there, I thought. Which was funny because they were streaming the conference on Twitch.
On like, Twitch, yeah.
Thanks, guys.
Yeah, so...
Sharing is caring.
But so they had the interesting issue where you could stream your stuff to another player and then actually virtually pass them the controller to allow them to control your game. And then I had flashbacks to MMO power leveling services. It's like you stream your game over to China and some poor impoverished, you know, slave labor goes for that'd $10
maybe I can finally play Dark Souls. I'll pay someone in China to play for
I'm
me.
I'm sure you can pay
you
Andrew $10 to play for you.
Here, just Andrew, play Dark Souls
just get,
for me.
Get it out of there.
$10? Yeah. You just say,
no,
Andrew,
no,
play
no,
Dark
Nick.
Souls.
Nick, what you do is you promise Andrew that he gets to do the Dark Souls 2 review, and then say the only way you get to do
stream
this
the
is
whole
if
thing.
You play Dark on Souls copy. On my account. Beat this game for me.
So the controller, talk about that a bit more.
Well, I was just going to say since we were
triggers
talking
that
about
don't
the,
suck, yeah.
We were talking about the video stuff. The other thing we didn't hear is what's it going to cost, because. That's not cheap, that kind of stuff. And you're going to have all these people streaming video everywhere. Like, the PlayStation Network is shit as it is now. Like,
it's gotten
better.
Yes.
better. But you're gonna have some. You're gonna need some serious infrastructure.
You need a whole back end because all they have right now is a store, a storefront, and that is like the most simple thing you can do. Like you can put up things to purchase. You need this, and I guess I'm not even gonna touch home because no one streaming.
Nobody touches.
There is a section of individuals out there that enjoy home and love it, but
I can tell you. For the past three times I've gone to the PlayStation store and accidentally pressed home instead, I have screamed at my PlayStation, no!
The audience we're speaking to isn't going to home. And that's a sweeping generalization, but really, you are streaming to, you know, again, your friends, your channel, whatever. You need to back that up with some seriously big network things. Like, that is, yeah, like you said, Nick, that has got to be huge. And they, I don't know how, it takes a while to build that stuff, and they have what? Like, what do you, like, yeah, eight months.
Well, I mean, the whole crux of this is that they're piggybacking all this sharing, Gaikai? Streaming, and even the instant on demo stuff through Gaikai. And Gaikai, before Sony bought them, had been working out their own separate infrastructure. So, for all we know, the shitty PSN infrastructure is not going to even be used for PS4. So, there. Well, I'm extremely skeptical. My take on it is they're talking about like your PSN account now uses your real name, and they want all this stuff. The system will do things like keep track of the genres you play and all this personal information. And what happened to Sony last year, or in 2011?
Hack.
Big ol' hack. I don't know if I want you to have all of that extra personal information you're going to need to make all these shiny new features.
My favorite was the day of the conference. Everyone was doing the PlayStation memories tweets. And Wombat from Cheap Ass Gamers, he tweeted, "Remember that time you stole all my personal information?" And with a little hashtag PlayStation memories.
Stealing all my personal information. It was great. Oh, that was a good day.
I just tweeted the fact that I had a hardware failure at every generation of PlayStation so far.
That's crazy. I have not.
Yeah, my PlayStation 3 that I bought like within the first batch is still running.
That's crazy.
My PlayStation 1, I have to turn it upside down to get the discs to read. My PlayStation 2, my first PlayStation 2, the disc read errors. So I had a first one I had to get replaced, then the second one got stolen, and then I bought a third one. And
see, okay,
PS3...
but the stolen isn't the
no,
Sony's
it is.
Fault.
It is. That's the thing, Jason. It is this fault.
they released his personal information to someone that way they could go steal it.
Ken Kutaragi
actually
stole it.
Resident Evil Outbreak account on it or something. No, that one doesn't count. I'm just saying, I've gone through many PlayStations. I'm on my third PS3, so... my PlayStation memories are like, there's all these really awesome games I have great memories of. Oh, and by the way, the system is made
cardboard.
Out of, like, the cheapest plastic ever.
They also showed the PlayStation Kinect. What was that? That little
briefly.
Camera for about three seconds?
It looked like there's a little Kinect-type thing to interact with the light strip on the backside of the controller. Which is funny, because it has the PlayStation Move-style lights on the backside of the controller. And Yoshida, there was an interview with him, and he was saying, like, the lights can change to provide feedback to the player. And like, dude, I'm looking,
I'm not looking down here.
At the backside of my controller. I'm looking at the TV.
Yeah, they said today, I think it's today I saw an interview that said that the controller doesn't act like the Move, though. That there's still going to be the PlayStation Move, so the lights are just there for shiny.
Just like
reasons,
when your little Move controller,
it's like you said, Mike, to provide some kind of feedback.
Why do I need to hold a little wand in my hand to shake?
Because it's
screen?
Fun.
because you do this with the waggle wand, and apparently the puppets pick up a guitar.
Oh God, that was.
And
little...
then they start jamming,
that was
and
the
then
worst.
There's a drum solo.
Yeah,
and it's all,
but what
it's
you're
all
doing right
this.
Now is the exact same thing you do.
There's a drum solo like this every time.
This is
Mike.
How you play Wii music. Don't you remember?
Yeah.
Oh my God, yes!
This is how you play 90% of the Wii games.
But it's still, like, it just seems so ridiculous. It's like, PlayStation Move videos have always been pretty bad. Like, because, like, did they not learn anything from the Wii?
All I'm saying more disc golf courses, please. Sports Champions is begging for it. That's all I need. Disc golf.
I don't have
that. I know. I'm the only one who loves that game because of disc golf. So
let's talk,
dude. We ever meet up sometime? I'll gladly frolf with you, but okay, just not fine. In a game.
Let's keep going.
Yeah.
Let's talk about the games.
What was that first robot one called? Clanks, Clunks, Quartz?
Clank.
Clank, I think it is.
Clank's
yeah.
from Ratchet and Clank.
I think Clank.
Oh, it was very memorable. All I Clunks.
Yeah. it had a K and an X.
Let's call it
That's all we know.
Clunks. but it was showing off Mark Cerny's new hot joint.
Yeah.
And yeah. I wasn't that impressed because
he used to work at Naughty Dog.
He's a big name. I have a lot of respect for that guy, but I mean, you're coming out and your first game that you show is a cameo ripoff that looks.
My big thing is like I don't like graphics don't matter. If the game's good, game's good. But if you're coming out to show, like, you're trying to wow the hardcore gamer with like the power of your freaking processor, and the first thing you do is show me a game that looks like Team Fortress 2.
Yeah, it's
Team Fortress 2 looks incredible.
It's a style thing.
Team Fortress 2
but
runs on
a style
toaster,
thing, right? Like, I mean, that would have been, you know, just swap that with like, I don't know, Killzone or
put Killzone for like lead with Killzone, then show this, like show the breadth, but like do the like.
Yeah.
Holy crap!
But more
moment first, because everyone I know just sat there and looked at it and was like, this really, like you said, it this looks like cameo or
more
something.
More importantly, though, it showed the is it called crossplay where you go straight to your Vita? They have recreated the Wii U.
Remote play.
Yeah. And there was a little, you know, watching on the stream there again. I was watching on Twitch, but. Seemed like a little bit of frame issues, but still the same game on your Vita, which is cool. That's very handy and useful for people with one TV, one TV, children, that sort of thing. So other games, like we just mentioned, Killzone. Killzone, man.
Killzone looked like another Killzone game. It looked really great. Like that game, if those games. Like I'm saying, it looks great. I don't think they play very well. I was not a big fan of Killzone 2, and I played a little bit of Killzone 3 with the machine gun thing.
Oh man, you were a big fan of the facepalm.
Less spoken about that, the better. But they're trying to show off how good the game looks, and that Killzone demo, if that was representative of what the final game is going to look like. That looked on par with basically anything that a high-end PC is doing now. It looked really nice.
At least.
But it doesn't, like, it's just another Killzone game. I couldn't get excited over it. But it actually had colors other than red and
brown.
That
game, sorry, that is called Knack.
Yes.
Knack. We were way off. Wow.
I know.
We got the K right.
There was a K.
Except there was at the end.
And the trailing
right.
K.
That we said was an X.
Drive Team? Drive Force? What's the one with the cars?
Drive
that
Club.
That guy was way too excited about cars.
If you like cars, you could just get off on that one game. Just because...
look at the rich Corinthian leather. Look at how the light... Look at how the specular lighting and normal mapping makes the leather look great and the individual stitches on the car seat.
Press conference over.
Like, I'm just going to go hop into a car and drive.
I was, like, actually uncomfortable.
It was weird. It was
the
weird,
way he
right?
was talking
it was
about
weird,
the...
Right?
It was
yeah.
it was creepy.
But...
Yeah, it was...
Remember, the...
It's fetishizing cars.
Important to note the actual multiplayer aspects, some possible co-op in there with your team, where you can do different races together and you act together, which I think is really cool.
That's...
The challenges.
That's the test drive guys, though, right? Evolution?
Yeah.
They did test drive?
So, and they said they... if you remember, we reviewed Test Drive. Not the best game.
Human GPS.
Anyways, what else we get there? We had Deep Down.
Deep Down. Deep
sick.
Down.
Yes.
Yeah, that's Capcom Strike. That was the one game that actually just got me, like if anything was going to sell me a game, showing me what appears to possibly be a sequel to Dragon's Dogma that is taking heavy cues from Dark Souls.
Boner fuel. Damn. Right there. Like, they're using the new engine. Like, name escapes me. Pantare?
Quirky.
Pantare.
Pantare or something.
Yeah. Yes. Pantare? Thank you for
It is Japanese.
Pantare. R-H-E-I.
They like... Well, it was like the Final Fantasy, 13, the Fabula Nova Crystallis BS. They like just really weird ass names for just say the freaking Final Fantasy 13.
Square Enix reshowed that year old trailer, which was great.
That was embarrassing. It's like you and I were walking around, like we demoed Theater Rhythm at the 3DS booth, and then we stepped back from that and saw that video playing on their screen. And then, like, and I was like, oh, they're going to trot this out and then, like, move the camera around, like show that it's real time. It's like, nope, just
we're
a video.
Good at that.
Square Enix, we haven't developed a new game in how long? Like, we had to buy Eidos to actually produce games?
John Blow, bringing out The Witness, which is also known as Myst 6.
You know, there's no arbitrary puzzles in my game. Draw some lines on a freaking grid.
Hey, there were no matchsticks, okay, Mike? So,
I know. I really want to play that game. Like you, I think we've well established how I actually feel about Jonathan Blow the person. But he's an incredible game designer, and I really want to play The Witness. But like trying to trot that out and tell me that this is going to be a killer app for the PS3 or PS4 is not. It didn't do it for me, because that's going to come out on a lot of stuff. Like he didn't say it was exclusive; he just said it's coming to it.
But
Well, I mean, they did say what I'm curious about, kind of related to that, was they did say that they're going to have a very open and indie friendly system,
like the self-publishing.
They actually used the word self-publish at one point too in the presentation. So that's kind of surprising because that's a complete, 180 from what they were doing before.
And Sony has historically been really anti homebrew. Yeah.
But hey, with the architecture of the system, and from what I've heard, like a lot of the Vita API stuff is just C# kind of based stuff and things like that. I mean, they could have a huge indie following on their hands and stuff if it's affordable, right? You know, if it's
do you mean in terms of consumers purchasing it or devs getting into the system?
Both. Like what it costs to make it, right? To make games for it, and what the system costs to have a market to sell those games on.
I think that's really smart because these systems need that to compete with tablets and the open development on those. And app stores, they need to compete with how easy it is to develop for PC and get your games on there. And they need it to survive. They need those up-and-coming developers to develop for their system.
If their API stuff allows like me to play around with my Vita and the PS4 and do like cross stuff between that, I'll be all over it. I'd love doing stuff like that.
Char Blue Shield Alliance 2 confirmed for the Sony PlayStation 4. You're here to hear for a post.
$15 gets your crossplay copy.
The most, to me, the most interesting thing about this whole system is they talked a lot of really good game. Yeah. Like they really they said everything that they needed to say. Like there wasn't a giant enemy crab or $599 moment in that entire. In that entire thing, as long as it was.
And all of a sudden, at the start of the second act, giant fucking spider.
But no, they really have to save all that for
E3. It just seemed it seemed to me like Sony has understood that the PS3, as successful as it has been in Japan and Europe, didn't take off worldwide like the PS2 did, and that they made a lot of mistakes, and the hubris of Cell really held it back because the PS3, Cell, like Cell was notoriously difficult to develop for, and on paper, the specs of the PS3 outclassed the Xbox.
Yeah.
In a lot of regards, but it was so dang hard to develop for that didn't mean anything, because the only people that would ever be able to wrench any extra power out of it were first party devs. It's like you look at Uncharted, and it looks miles beyond most other game, like multi-platform games for that system. Like Killzone looks great, but if Killzone was multi-platform, it wouldn't look that great.
Yeah, no, they definitely like directly addressed all of their criticisms that they had, you know, and like you just said, the biggest was development, right? They kept bringing out developers, and they had those developers say, this is so much easier to develop for, you know, this is going to be easy to develop for. And they wanted to drive that point home, because I don't think they weren't even just courting new PlayStation 4 consumers or gamers. They were trying to, I think, court the developers too, to say, come to our system. It's really cool. And here's
if you saw, but right after that press conference, John Carmack came up and said,
yeah,
they made a lot of really good decisions with this hardware. I wish I could say more about it. You know, when John Carmack comes out there and says,
yeah,
you know, they did something right. And it's probably just because the thing is a damn PC.
Where does the Oculus Rift plug into? So that's all I need to know.
Yeah.
Couple other games. Yeah.
The rear USB
We saw
port.
Infamous Second Son, the third Infamous game.
Man, talk about awkward intros to games.
Like, was it?
It's like I learned that when I participated in the anarchist riots
the police,
in Seattle
man.
In 1997, that the police are evil.
So I made a game about it because I have superpowers.
And then the camera zooms in, and he has this forlorn look on his face, like I'm sad.
And if I could shoot fire out of my hands, I would do something about it. We also saw Blizzard announcing Diablo 3 for console.
Yeah, and there's a lot of interesting speculation about that, because it has an offline mode and local co-op.
Yeah.
There's always a lot of interesting speculation when it comes to Diablo.
But, you know, it worked back on the PS1. Who knows? We could see. But again, I remember talking with you guys. We mentioned, what are they going to do about local co-op? What are they going to do about, the online stuff, how that is all going to integrate? So be very curious.
If it uses Battle.net, can I have access to my existing characters? Because that would be
rad. I don't
want to
start a new character with new everything. Like, I want everything to synergize.
Well, when you hop on another PC right now and load up Diablo, you can just access your account.
Totally.
But if this thing if this thing doesn't use Battle.net though,
then I don't know.
I guess that's what I'm saying. Because if they're having 4-player local co-op, then that's completely different than what the PC currently allows. Like there's no local co-op of any kind, and all of your characters are stored offline or online on the server. And if you're allowing local co-op, are those characters put on someone's Battle.net account, or is it just running on new PSN? Like, there's a little... And it's a real kick in the nuts to PC players, because the freaking console version gets the offline mode? Are you kidding?
It'll be
like,
fun
what,
to see
what did
that.
Everyone complain about when Diablo 3 came out? Real Money Auction House and the online DRM.
I cannot
wait
for that.
You have local co-op, you could unplug it.
I also can't wait for that cat to
Last couple of games we saw Watch Dogs. We got the same sort of demo there. That was running at the PC version. That was the
confirmation that yes, it actually is a next gen title.
Which
everyone,
is fine.
Everyone had there was Watch Dogs and Star Wars 1313, and everyone's like, this looks a little too good for what
this
we have
really
right
nice.
Now.
And then
they're like,
exactly
no, it's a PS3 game, trust me.
I don't know about that, that looks really good.
And then after that, we saw Halo 5, I mean Destiny, which Bungie's new IP they're working on with Activision. So
Activision.
Their new, I don't even know how to describe it.
It's a
shooter.
Is it
just a game, or is it several games, or is it a bunch of smartphone apps and games?
It doesn't matter, Nick will put in so many hours into the multiplayer. It doesn't matter what platform. It can be released on all the platforms.
It transcends platforms.
That's right.
It is a platform.
That's no move.
You guys are terrible.
Yeah, we didn't even talk about Destiny.
Yeah. It's
Dude,
Destiny.
The problem was they didn't talk about it.
I will say this. I will buy Bungie artwork all the live long day.
Nobody does skyboxes better.
No, they don't.
Yeah, so I downloaded the Majestic map pack today, and I just kind of checked
it
out.
He means, like, played for 3
Holy
hours.
Holy crap. No, I played, I think, two matches, but their skyboxes and backgrounds in it for, like, a multiplayer map are just ridiculous.
That's good for me, because I spend so much time spinning around in the air, so.
Spinning around.
Explains your multiplayer kill score.
We're running out of time here. Let's wrap things up. Any final thoughts on the PlayStation 4, on the PlayStation meeting, anything, open floor.
If they show me a bunch of really nice looking games coming out for it at E3, I'll buy
one. Okay.
But as is right now, I really think they're going to do a lot of good stuff and I'll eventually get one, but they haven't sold me. They haven't done a day one sale. It made me want to upgrade my PC more than it made me want the console.
Nice.
It's all about the price.
Yeah, I mean, what are they going to do? We're tossing around prices.
It sounds like they jumped the gun, right? They wanted to be out there first and get that planted in everybody's mind, but they really don't have a lot of decisions finalized yet, showing exactly what it looks like because they don't know yet. That's why they didn't show it. They're trying to figure out what they can fit that hardware into.
And I don't have a problem with that. A lot of people had a problem with that. I don't care.
I don't either.
Like you said, Nick, they talked a big game, and that's good. I think that's a really good sort of intro into this sort of ecosystem they want to create going into the next several months, where they're going to start hitting heavy with details and PR and all those big marketing bucks so they can go through the summer getting people hyped up.
Yeah. I mean, it's gonna force Microsoft to be better. You know, I think the fact that Sony came out swinging like this, it's gonna force Microsoft to put some bucks behind everything,
which is good.
They did position the PS3 as kind of like the anti Xbox, because Xbox has basically become a media box. It plays games and does all this extra. Here's all these other services. And the PS3 came out as like, this is all about games. Games, 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 games. Oh, by the way, you can watch Netflix on it.
Let's get real.
Yeah.
But it's also, what I'm looking forward to is, and we've touched upon this already, is the fact that they kind of were like, oops, you're right. PlayStation 3 is all about games, but no one could make games on it. So that didn't work out too well. I'm really interested to see what they do with not only the indie stuff, but just as a whole, having a back to kind of like a developer-friendly hardware to work with, like the PlayStation 2. And for the indie scene, I know, like, who is it they've got over there? Dude from 1UP, Nick. Can't remember his last
name.
Yeah, sick Nick Sutner, who's been working a lot with their indie side to get the self-publishing up and running for them. And that's really what I'm looking forward to for the PlayStation 4, is something that's like, give me back to that days where everyone wanted to work with it, everyone to develop games for it, and by the way, anyone now can, because that's pretty much the market, is anyone and everyone.
Cool. Awesome. Well, I think that does it for the PlayStation Talk and the podcast. Once again, please go out, get our apps, whether on whatever device you own, iOS, Windows Phone 7, Android, and always remember to leave feedback. We love reading those reviews because it makes me smile on the inside and out. Leave it on iTunes. Follow the Twitter. follow us on Twitter at Cooptimus, and call us for the cheat code hotline. We can give you all those tips. Leave us a voicemail.
The game counselors are standing by.
Mike literally sits in this room and he just waits for the phone to ring. He doesn't do anything else. 646-926-6748. We'll play you on the air and do that.
He's lonely and cranky.
But he will tell you how to get an infinite breath code in Echo the Dolphin. On behalf of my co-hosts, Nick, Jason, Mike, and this is Locke, signing off, Co-opticast, episode 102. Catch you in a couple weeks.